And now, we turn to the world of sports. The football season is upon us, and that means it's time to get ready for your fantasy football drafts. The ultimate draft kit from the Fantasy Footballers is the Cat's Pajamas, and only tool you need. The best rankings in the business, sleepers, breakouts, values. It's even got a free companion app. Don't be a pigeon-livered foozler. The ultimate draft kit will keep you on the up and up and keep all the hornswogglers at bay. Don't even think about entering a fantasy football draft without it. Don't be a square. Head to ultimatedraftkit.com today.
Welcome to the Fantasy Footballers Podcast with your hosts, Andy Holloway, Jason Moore, and Mike Wright.
Welcome in. Saturday, July 24th, the Fantasy Footballers Podcast.
Ooh. Only one more Saturday show after this one.
That's true. You're inferring.
Then there's a Monday show. Then there's a Tuesday show. Then there's a Wednesday show and a Thursday, Friday show to boot.
Oh.
I thought you were 5 a week.
Singing the song from Happy Days.
Oh, yeah.
Monday, Tuesday. Yeah. I realized.
Andy's like, oh, a Happy Days reference? You guys want to riff on that for a while?
You know what?
Love that show.
I guess I need to be proud to say that I wasn't really a Happy Days guy.
Yeah, you should. I'm surprised, for one.
Well, I had just finished watching, you know,
I love Lucy.
Andy Griffith.
Yeah.
So, no, you're right. We've got 5 days a week coming soon. I realized this morning as I was getting ready for the day, because in the off season when we have three shows a week, we record these the day before, and when we move into the regular season schedule, we record them very early in the morning. And I realize that now my kids are going back to school at the exact same time that that starts, and the whole, like, any summer lazy routine, any slow wake up in the morning, it's gone, guys.
Yeah.
All right at once.
But I had the realization, whatever, yesterday. I was like, oh, back to the old alarm clock.
Yeah. I know. We've been getting up so slowly in the morning
lately.
Wait a
minute. You don't use an alarm clock?
No.
Do you, Andy?
No.
What?
No. The sun is my alarm clock. Yeah. It wakes me up.
It wakes me up every morning.
I still use an alarm clock, right? I sleep forever.
What's it set at?
It's set at 7 right now.
What?
Yeah.
You need an alarm clock to wake up at 7.
That is correct.
Interesting. Yeah, Mike and I are... We've been trained from years and years of,
I guess,
of sunrises and sunsets and kids.
Well,
and
it's because at the old job we weren't the boss. We had to be on time.
I
never set an alarm clock at that job.
All right, we do have big news to talk about on the show today. We're into the NFC East on our divisional breakdown shows. A lot of great feedback coming in about these episodes. Last week we did, or I should say Thursday, we did the NFC West. Had to talk about the Cam Akers injury. And we've got another injury to talk about today as well. Before we get into the news and discuss those sad realities of fantasy football, I want to remind you, you can go to Instagram, follow the show, Instagram.com/fantasyfootballers, YouTube.com/thefantasyfootballers. Subscribe over on YouTube. I encourage you. Go do that. We do a lot of live streams. Mike has a Sunday morning live stream we do during the year.
Oh, baby.
And like when we did the Sleeper Bowl, that's on YouTube as well. And if you subscribe, click the bell, you'll get notified about all the live events as well as the episodes. You can also win an Antonio Gibson signed mini helmet. That giveaway is coming to an end very soon, Brooks.
Yep, just a few days left.
You're not eligible.
Dang it.
But everybody else is, and you just have to do a couple things, but they're all free.
Yep, footclangiveaway.com to enter there.
And one of those things that you can do to get that entry once you go there is by going to footclanvote.com, you can nominate us right now for the podcast awards.
Yeah.
You sure that?
I am sure that it forwards. Yes.
Oh, it does. Okay.
Yeah. Did you do it?
Yeah, I checked. Yeah, of course.
No, I'm. Okay, I thought maybe you were the one who like went and did a forward.
Oh no no no! I make Andy do that.
You're bringing just new information to me, and I just am vetting it to make sure that it was right. Anything else that we need to talk about, Brooks? Anything you got on the agenda before we get into the news?
Nah, let's talk about Michael news. Thomas.
Oh, Michael Thomas.
News and notes from around the league, presented by Sleeper.
Okay, we woke up to it.
This isn't the worst. Like, this is not the Cam Akers news.
No.
It's not great, but it's not that. It's not Cam Akers.
And there's a lot to talk about with it. Michael Thomas expected to miss the start of the season. He underwent a surgery in June to repair ligaments in his ankle.
In June. Thanks, Saints beat writers.
They kept that on the down low. And the estimated time of recovery for this surgery is 4 months. And so he could be on the sideline for several weeks into the year. I've seen everything up to a half a year. And I believe the three of us, when we went into the ultimate draft kit in our rankings, we made adjustments based on the present right now assumption that he'll miss at least 6 weeks.
Yeah, he feels like a perfect candidate for the PUP list, which means he automatically has to miss those six games.
Not Mitch them.
No.
Which is what the Bears did at quarterback last year.
Yeah, well, nobody beats Mitch.
Tre'Quan Smith, Marquez Callaway, Deontay Harris, welcome to your wide receiver room. No more Emmanuel Sanders, no more Jared Cook, who, you know, whatever you want to say about how his skills are progressing, he had experience at the NFL level. So right now, don't know the quarterback. You don't really know. I mean, Tre'Quan Smith has the most experience by far of that group, but has been inconsistent. We were looking up Emmanuel Sanders' contributions last year with Michael Thomas missing time. He was over 700 yards receiving. So how do you look at this offense now? And, you know, Adam Trautman's there. Alvin Kamara's there.
Yeah, I mean, those two guys get a clear bump. Adam Trautman, Mike is super excited because he was, you know, one of the first to the party on the Adam Trautman train. And this ends up obviously giving him an opportunity for more targets. You know, we've seen a lot of times when a tight end becomes fantasy relevant, it's because they are just necessary.
Yep.
It's not like they're super talented. Now you're mixing the hopeful talent. We have not seen it realized on the NFL field, but he was drafted with talent in mind to be a good pass catching tight end at the NFL level.
He was drafted to be a starting tight end. He wasn't a day three pick that is like, well, let's see if this guy makes the team.
Right, and you mix that with the necessary opportunity. So that gets a little exciting for those who are, you know, in that camp. The wide receiving core is, as it stands now without Michael Thomas, might be the worst in the league. It's
rough.
One where you expect New Orleans to – there are no free agent wide receiver veterans out there just waiting to be scooped up of any note. They're all old
Larry
busted.
Fitzgerald?
Right, Larry Fitzgerald would be the best, and I doubt he's going to change teams at this point in his career.
Right.
And he's also, you know, he's the best of the group. No offense to Larry. He's not in his prime.
Deontay Harris has had 20 catches last year. Marquez Callaway had 25. So you're right. I mean, there's not really a lot to go on. This is not something where many of us are going to be having to take a July 24th gamble on the wide receiver room. We need to wait for training camp to see what happens. And if you have to take the shot, it has to be Tre'Quan Smith.
Yeah, 100%.
But I mean, let's be clear. Tre'Quan Smith, the experienced Tre'Quan, 34 catches. 34 last year.
Yeah,
he only missed two games at the end of the year. He barely had more receptions than Callaway.
Yeah, I mean, you had him.
I'd almost take the shot on Callaway.
You'd have him being third fiddle last season to Emmanuel Sanders and Michael Thomas when he was out there.
Tre'Quan Smith was part of my argument in favor of Adam Trautman.
Tre'Quan Smith holds a special place in my heart right now. You know, well, oftentimes when we roll out new products here at the Fantasy Footballers, it takes multiple years. We don't roll it out in year one because we want to get things right. And I was working on something called the True Score.
Plus the alarm clock thing.
Metric. Well, yeah, the alarm clock. I mean, we don't wake up very early. So that's going to take extra years. But I was working on some for a true score that really looks at all four levels of the field behind the line of scrimmage within 10, over 20, and 10 to 20.
Like and a where wide receiver is catching the ball.
Yes, where they're catching it, what they do relative to other players at the position. And one of the reasons I especially pushed the pause button was because one receiver who just looked really good in that was Traquan Smith. So I'm actually curious to see what this opportunity does. He do anything? But that doesn't mean that you should be drafting him. He has not done much to date.
28 receptions in his rookie year, down to 18, then to 34.
Yeah, so
I'm fine taking one of like a double digit flyer on him.
And since we don't know who the quarterback is, I think this makes it possibly more likely that Taysom Hill would be the quarterback in
maybe.
The sense that. They're going to need to get the running game going. It gives at least another option if the pass, you know, the passing game isn't there. Taysom could scramble.
I do agree with that. I think it does lend itself towards Hill because Hill provides offense. I mean, it, with his legs, he provides another weapon. Kamara, Troutman, and Hill plus a top five defense.
Could you imagine how many picks Jameis could throw with this wide receiving core?
Oh my god!
I mean, so many.
There is no limit.
There's no limit. Yeah, I guess I think the more important kind of final thing to say here is there's a question mark into how long Thomas is gone, but then there is a question mark about will he be Michael Thomas when he comes back? And that
got some thunder going on.
I think
on.
The studio just got rocked. Was that a lightning bolt of some sort? Brooks,
we're all still here.
Brooks, can you get the door? Thor is here.
I thought you were going to ask him to pull the umbrella out.
He would fly away.
Wow, a storm in Arizona. We're not used to this. We may have to pause and go watch it. It's a special event. But Michael Thomas last year played hurt. And last year wasn't the same Michael Thomas. Now he's coming back from an injury that was likely a re-injury because he clearly wasn't fine. He took part in what? Some stuff with the team in May and then had to get surgery in June?
Yeah, and unfortunately, you know, a lot of players hurt their ankles. Sometimes they need surgery. And then sometimes it is this surgery, which is much more rare. It's the deltoid ligament. So it's on the inside of the ankle, which has a much more difficult...
Dr. Donuts in the house.
much more difficult recovery time. You can't speed it along. So it's one of those things where... he could end up missing half the year. I fully expect him to start on the pup. If he starts on the pup, he's missing six games. So the question goes, where do I draft him? And because people are, you know, he's Michael Thomas.
Sure.
And he's going to be dropping in a draft. You buy the injury dip. My recommendation would be not unless I have an IR spot.
100%.
Because if you're going to miss at least 6 weeks and then possibly more, and then when he comes back.
Who's the quarterback?
You don't know who the quarterback is, and
well,
you don't know
we
if
should
he's
know.
Right. You don't know if he's 100% when he comes back. So you're talking, you might be holding on to a player for 8-9 weeks, ruining a roster spot because even though it's not starting, your bench is still a roster spot that has value to the waiver wire, to who you can grab, who you can keep away, who you can plan for extra defenses on the next week, things like that. So if you've got an IR slot, I would be willing to draft him a little bit later, but it's dicey.
All right, let's talk about another wide receiver with an ankle issue. Amari Cooper, he's going to open camp on the PUP list. That's not necessarily surprising, but he had a week 17 injury. He underwent a procedure on January 7th. Our injury expert, Matthew Betts, says coming off of a surgery, athletes can develop irritation in the ankle joint, so that's what he's dealing with, or tendonitis. Should respond well to rehab and rest. But we don't think right now that he'll miss regular season time. But does the possibility that he could make Michael Gallup a mid-round, late-round steal?
I'm not... looking towards Michael Gallup currently. I mean, drafts won't happen for several more weeks, and I think we'll have information by then. You're going to see Saquon and Amari Cooper and others start camp on the pup, and that's not the same as going into the season on the pup. So we just talked about you're on the pup. It's a guaranteed six games missed. That's not the active PUP in the training camp time.
You can come right off of it.
Yeah, you can come off whenever you're healthy. This is a different ankle injury that he should be able to come back with and be fine. I feel like by the time most fantasy drafts happen, they know. And to me, it's more about CeeDee Lamb, because CeeDee Lamb is being drafted very similar to
same spot
Amari basically. Cooper, and
I just don't know how the Amari Cooper may be missing a game or two. You're saying you would raise your CeeDee Lamb hopes? Because I would start Michael Gallup 100% of weeks that Amari Cooper's not there.
I would agree. I guess my point is I think by that time we will know whether or not he is missing games, and I don't expect him to miss games. If he doesn't miss games, then I'm not that interested in Michael Gallup.
Saquon on the pup to start training camp. Kadarius Toney on the reserve COVID-19 list. I think we're all hopeful that there will be far less COVID reserve news than we had last year, where it was that was a wild ride for fantasy players.
But this is not great for Kadarius Toney.
To miss some time.
Which, to be fair to the news, we don't know we don't know if he was just exposed.
Correct.
Yeah, we don't know if he is positive or not. But if he ends up missing training camp.
Oh, it's John Ross time. I hear what you're saying.
Don't hear what I'm not saying.
Oh, okay.
Don't hear that.
But if Kadarius Toney misses training camp, that is devastating for his first half outlook.
Very unlikely. I mean, he was a player that we're not expecting big things out of rookie year anyway.
Right.
So you're right. I mean, he's not really in consideration. Ramondre Stevenson starting on the injury non-football injury list. In early June, they had said he's fighting through some things, but if you are looking for clarity in that backfield, I'm going to be honest with you.
Patriots running back,
Ramondre Stevenson, thank you. Fourth round pick. Before even knowing this news, I made some trades angling for Damian Harris.
Ooh.
In the recent weeks. Now, I didn't get him, but I went after him with intention because I am starting to rise on the consistency that we'll see from Damian Harris. And, you know, his real threat would have been Stevenson being there on day one, working himself into a timeshare, but the odds of that were already low. And then now with the injury, I mean, this is Damian Harris's backfield.
And honestly, I mean, if you don't know who Ramondre Stevenson is, he's a rookie prospect coming in who has dealt with weight issues, and whether he's in shape or out of shape makes a gigantic difference to what you see on the field. The fact that he's on the NFI list, it doesn't inspire me to believe that he's going to come into the season once he gets back in perfect tip-top peak performance shape. So that's it speaks to what you're saying.
And then just circling back to the COVID policies for the NFL, they did announce on Thursday that if a game cannot be rescheduled due to a COVID outbreak among unvaccinated players, the game will result in a forfeit for the team with the outbreak. I mean, we dealt with some rescheduling last year. So there's not going to be – if that happens, you won't get a game back for that team and
right.
those players.
This is the NFL flexing on the players, sending a message saying get it done. The NFLPA came out after this and said, just so you know, these were the same rules last year, which I did not know that at first. But basically, the NFL's rules last year.
This one is specifically talking about unvaccinated players.
But last year, the rules of game checks
of rescheduling.
And rescheduling and those things
were the same.
Otherwise, that's all I've got for news. That was today's news notes brought to you by Sleeper, as always. Sleeper, they've been adding some great stuff lately. I know mm-hmm. that iPad support, something they've been working on. I heard an idea that's worth mentioning, that somebody talked about, you know, they complain about people taking too much time in a draft, and that someone had the idea of doing chess style rules on drafting where you have a set allotment of time.
Oh, how funny.
And so while you're on the clock, you're using up some time, and then when you make your pick.
Is that what that clock does?
You didn't know that?
I didn't either.
Oh, yeah, the clock in chess.
I thought it was just like, that's how you really flex on someone. You're like, I'm kicking your butt, and look at the amount of time it takes me to do my move.
You get a set amount of time. And
how much time do you have?
For the whole game?
For the whole game.
Oh.
So if you were to go over your time in a game, you would then lose. You didn't know that?
No.
No, because I'm not a nerd. Take that, chess nerds.
Neither of you guys watched the...
Oh, I did. I watched it.
Queen's Gambit?
I did. I
and you didn't
it.
Comprehend that reality during the entirety
they
of that show?
They never once said... I've always seen them hit the little timer.
Yeah.
I just thought it was like This is keeping track of how much time it takes. I'm smarter than you.
I thought you were busting out a searching for Bobby Fischer reference.
But what do you think about that idea for, like, you know, everybody starts with a certain amount of time. So if you want to take it up.
I love that Sleeper is always willing to explore new things. I think that's a terrible idea because that just gives people much more time in the beginning, like way more time in those first few rounds to slow down.
In a 5-0 game, I don't know what that means. I'm just reading.
Google Mike is back.
In a 5-0 game, the white and black clock each gets 5 minutes, meaning that the game could take up to 10 minutes in total.
What?
Dude.
When I finish a chess game.
That's certainly not regular.
That's a fast game.
That's not regular chess.
Yeah. A slower
that would
game,
be speed chess.
A slower game is 15 to 30 minutes.
Okay. Yeah.
Impressive.
Well, I mean, a whole new world. Also, Mike needlessly dunks on all nerds from everything except for his own nerddom.
Also, guys,
which is
I'm a little out of it. I'm trying to push through. Wild night of Dungeons and Dragons last night.
Not a joke.
No,
not a joke.
But he's not a nerd like those nerds.
Also, now you know why there's no alarm. All right, so you can switch to Sleeper, put your league on there. It'd be great. Before we start NFC East, I do want to thank today's sponsor, Codecademy. Look, there's never been a better time than right now to become a programmer, and what Codecademy does is let you learn code on your own terms. So simply put, Codecademy is the best way to learn to code online. They not only teach you job-ready coding skills, but they help you build unique projects for your portfolio, earn certificates, and even prep for technical interviews, which it's technically hard to say that.
Technical interviews.
Look, we come from a gaming and game design background. We work with programmers. I've done some of that in my day. My son is an aspiring programmer, and we're talking Python, HTML, CSS, which were kind of the languages I learned early on, SQL, JavaScript, things that will help you get a great job. Like, my son is so ambitious and excited about using this platform. I've been on the platform. So is he. It's great. And there are great opportunities there for in-demand jobs. And Codecademy puts you in the right position to do that. You can join the millions of people learning to code with Codecademy to see where coding can take you. Get 15% off your Codecademy Pro membership when you go to Codecademy.com and use the promo code BALLERS. That's promo code BALLERS at Codecademy to get 15% off Codecademy Pro, the best way to learn to code. Codecademy.com, promo code BALLERS.
Before we jump in, I got something that I need to bring up on the podcast. Now, if you have been with this podcast for a large amount of time, you know, thank
congratulations.
You for, yes, yeah, and thank you for still
and
being
I'm sorry.
Here. A while back, Jason Moore,
that's me.
You tried to start a movement. A movement when it came to a beverage.
Oh, yeah. The Jason Moore.
The Jason Moore.
That's right.
And what was that?
Oh, it's half Sprite, half lemonade. I'm going to be honest. It's probably about 55% Sprite, 45% lemonade. But when you order it, you just say Jason Moore, and they know 50-50 is fine.
You also have to specify, again, you can't say Jason Moore.
He tried.
I mean, you tried a lot.
I've ordered plenty of Jason Moores, and then when they ask what that is, I teach them. What it is. Yes.
But Mike has an announcement to make.
Yeah. So I don't know if you saw the viral videos of NBA champion Giannis. He was out there.
Giannis ought to be illegal.
Yes. Destroyer of our souls. But he went to a Chick-fil-A and he bought a whole bunch of nuggets. He also bought a half Sprite, half Chick-fil-A. Or half lemonade.
I did see
half
this
lemonade, half Sprite.
Salt in the wounds. Yes, I saw the salt being poured into my
wounds.
Well,
it's going to get worse. It's going to get worse.
Because Chick-fil-A is,
no, they're not.
Is now, in fact, offering, in some locations, a Chick-fil-A 50-50.
That's what they're calling it.
A Chick-fil-A 50-50.
Yeah. Half Sprite, half Chick-fil-A lemonade.
Oh, I'm down with that. I thought you were going to say it was a Giannis.
Oh.
And if it was a Giannis, I was going to be a little bit angry. No, this is great news because I can... Let Chick-fil-A help proliferate my creation.
But now it will never, ever, ever be the Jason Moore.
Oh, absolutely. Once people get used
not.
To it. Oh, I'm taking
it. Will not. It will be the 50-50.
But timestamp this, Brooks, because it'll be the Jason Moore.
Still working on that.
Yeah, it's coming.
All right, let's do it.
Let's get divisional.
All right, there's a lot to talk about in the NFC East, a lot. This was not a good division last year. 7-9 won it, 2-6-10 teams, a 4-11 team. We start by talking about Washington, but again, I want to remind
division
people
winners.
They were 7-9, right? So, like, distortion has happened, I think. You know, you win the division, and that comes along with, wow, you know, Mike's been excited about Washington. I think we're hopeful for the marriage of Ryan Fitzpatrick and this football team. But this was a 7-9 team. This is also a team that right now, what do you think the Vegas line is for Washington?
Oh.
See, I wondered if either of you had thought about this.
I feel like it's easy to project the 50-50 teams. This is a 500 team. So I would usually say 8-8, but it's
I'm gonna
there's
give
more
them,
games, so 8.5.
I'm going to give them 9.
8.5. Jason has once again cheated and got it right on his own.
Nope.
No, you've been hitting them pretty well. Started 2-7 last year, though, with Dwayne Haskins, Kyle Allen. This was a bad offensive football team with a capital B. Really, really bad. Great defensive team. Second in terms of pass yards given up, fourth in points against. Put it together to win over the last handful of weeks enough games to win the division with a sub-500 record. So I think we begin by really examining, I think, the upside and downside of investing fantasy-wise into this offense. Because on paper last year, 30th in total yards. That tells you what you need to know, 25th in points per game. It was led by Haskins. It was led by Alex Smith, Taylor Heineke for a moment. And
Kyle Allen.
Yeah, Kyle Allen. And this year, the two big additions are Ryan Fitzpatrick and Curtis Samuel. And so can those two additions take this from a dead last or nearly dead last offensive football team and put them on the map as a top half?
100% to me they can do that. And here's where we need to bust out a very interesting stat that differentiates fantasy football and real life football. You just illustrated how terrible this offense was overall, and yet they had two top 24 running backs, a top 20 wide receiver, and a top 10 tight end for fantasy football. So don't let the idea and projection that a team is going to have a bad offense completely scare you away from fantasy options on that team. They are not mutually exclusive.
Yeah, Saquon, James Robinson.
So it happens. But I think that the addition of Ryan Fitzpatrick is gigantic for what this team can do moving forward and what this offense will be. The quarterback play was very poor for this team last year. And as fun as it is to talk about Ryan Fitzpatrick and sing his praises, he's not the greatest quarterback in the world. In fact, the last time that we had seen him, you know, or we've seen him with a full season worth of games once in the past 8 years. He is just a spot starter. He's been a backup. But even with all that, he is much better than what Washington had to deal with all of last year. You get Terry McLaurin, who's one of the best young wide receivers in the game, in my opinion. The athleticism, the actual skill at the wide receiver position, and a player who is willing to force feed him the ball with Ryan Fitzpatrick, a quarterback who's not afraid to let it rip before you know for sure that Terry McLaurin is actually open. He's trusting in the player, and he trusts in that he's going to make the cut and end up wide open. He will take some chances. Yes, it turns into turnovers, but it also turns into a higher-powered offense as a whole.
So I guess the question then is, Ryan Fitzpatrick, I think due to the history you just outlaid and the age, right, he'll be 39 during the year, being drafted as the quarterback 25 in the 15th round right now. But every single time that he's been given the opportunity to start in recent years, Tampa Bay, Miami, the Jets, we end up, you know, 2 weeks into his, the regime change when he takes over at quarterback, and we're all scrambling to pick him up on the waiver wire, and he's winning you games.
Yes.
So why not go with Ryan Fitzpatrick then?
I think he's phenomenal when it comes to having fun and putting up big performances, but he's also known to completely implode from time to time. You know, he was on pace last year for 4,000 yards and 25 touchdowns, but also 17 interceptions, even though a lot was made about how he was much more safe and secure with the ball. Okay, yes, but also still not great. So I think that there's fear of the implosion mixed with there's no chance here with such a great defense that Ryan Fitzpatrick comes out and really levels up at, you know, almost
39.
40 and becomes a top five guy. Whereas when you're drafting these late quarterbacks, you know, if I'm drafting someone later like Ryan Tannehill, he could easily be a top five guy.
Yeah, Ryan Fitzpatrick is, you have punted the quarterback position even later than Ryan Tannehill. I'm fine going into the season with Ryan Fitzpatrick as my starter.
Chargers, Giants, Buffalo, Atlanta. But first 2 weeks at home, decent matchups.
Yeah. And
you could start the year with him.
Jason's projecting that the Chargers are better defense, but we don't know that that will actually be what happens. So, right. I mean, those first two games, that's perfectly fine. In the seven starts last year for Ryan Fitzpatrick on a points-per-game basis, he was tied with Russell Wilson.
And
in fantasy points,
I will say this: you know, if you play in a super flex league, Mike, we're going to be doing a super flex mock.
We are,
I believe, next week.
No, we're going to mock super flex.
Oh, fantastic! That's also my favorite.
You got the order.
We'll
wrong.
Do both.
Yeah, we can multitask that. but
Super Brooks over there is how are you feeling?
Good.
Yeah,
Brooks doesn't care because we're doing it.
Really,
he is
like
the official champion of the Superflex League.
Yeah, really like to have three quarterbacks in a Superflex League. And when you're looking at your third quarterback, the Derek Carr types, the Ryan Fitzpatrick types, those are fantastic options.
All right, let's talk about Antonio Gibson, J.D. McKissic, and the running back room for Washington. I have a note here that, look, we're all pretty high on Gibson. He's our RB13, just outside of the RB1 range. My note that I put in here was if you knew his workload was going to be identical this year, upcoming, as it was last year, then he would be a bust candidate for me because of the disproportionate quantity of touchdowns that he managed to put up on a team that was, you know, 25th in points per game, 30th in total yards, 11 touchdowns on the level of opportunities that he had last year it'd be a tough number to come back and say, hey, he's going to do that again. Obviously, the excitement around Gibson is that he was a rookie. He's going to have come into year two with more experience, more trust of the team, and I think that that is what most people project. I'm the lowest of our group. I am at 15. I do think J.D. McKissic was valuable last year and will continue to be involved. 80 receptions for McKissic. And so when you look at this running back room, what can go right, what can go wrong?
Well, what can go right is obvious to me with Antonio Gibson truly becoming a top five type of back. I see that in his range of outcomes. I think he has a higher probability than a lot of the guys that are being drafted in his range to do that. You're right, Andy. It will take more usage. But the number one comp that he got coming out of college, for a lot of reasons, we comped him to this, is also the career comp that I now see for him, which is David Johnson. He was a wide receiver that turned running back. So he was pretty inexperienced at running back. He comes in his rookie year. If you think about David Johnson, he magically finished as an RB1, just like Antonio Gibson did in his rookie year. Even though, you know, David Johnson had 125 rushing attempts. You needed that level up of volume, and it came. And the team is very much all about, you know, the OTA. There were two big pieces of information that came out on Antonio Gibson during the OTAs this year. One was that the toe injury is still lingering, and that does honestly scare me a little bit. And two was that it was, quote, night and day, the difference that Antonio Gibson has, and that he is ready to be the man. Like, that when they drafted him, they were talking about his three-down usage. He's not a rookie anymore. He's made a bunch of changes, and I fully, fully expect him to have a massive workload increase. I think he's going to be a phenomenal player this year, but that's the what could go right. The what could go wrong, I think, will center around the toe injury. Maybe, Andy, you think it centers around
J.D. McKissick or the few teams.
Yeah, very, very few teams are willing to employ the McCaffrey workload for a player, especially when they've had great effectiveness with another back on the roster. So for me, what can go wrong is that, you know, everything out of camp is that J.D. McKissick is very secure in the backup role. And nothing you said about Antonio Gibson all last season, the Christian McCaffrey hype. Look, all of that was true last year, and he had 36 receptions.
He was a rookie.
Right.
And he got injured. And he started getting more involved in the passing game before he got injured.
He didn't really, though. J.D. McKissick was one of the league leaders in receptions, and over the last couple weeks of the year, I think he had 5 receptions total. So, but I thought this was the part where I say what could go wrong, which is that they continue to use J.D. McKissick a lot. And you don't see. Yeah, I mean, Miles Sanders was a great pass catcher in college. He was considered to be a 3-down back. So was Josh Jacobs in college. He was considered to be a 3-down back. I don't know why we can't see a world where Gibson doesn't level up passing wise.
You can't use the last two games of the season. That was when Antonio Gibson was coming off of that toe injury, and he probably shouldn't have even been playing. The 4 games before he went down to the injury, he was seeing 4 targets a game, and that's a very healthy pace. You would like to see more, but it's also, I mean, not many coaches are willing to use a player at the Christian McCaffrey work type, get him out there for all the snaps, except the head coach for Washington is the guy who was doing that for Christian McCaffrey back on the Carolina Panthers. So we have the guy who's already shown he's willing to do it.
A little bit. I will say
that also went out and pursued J.D. McKissick.
I will definitely say that while he was the guy that, you know, obviously deployed Christian McCaffrey like that, he had Christian McCaffrey.
Sure.
And I don't think Antonio Gibson is Christian McCaffrey. He would have been drafted top 10. So this is a guy that I expect to be far more involved in the running game and more involved in the passing game. It's no guarantee. There are no guarantees. But when you comp to Miles Sanders, who could catch the ball, and Josh Jacobs, who could catch the ball, this was a wide receiver. This is a convert, just like David Johnson was. This is a converted wide receiver, and he's a guy who's 228 pounds, sub 4.4.
Okay. Most of the time when you see, you know, a rookie come in, though, you're saying he's a converted wide receiver, and he made his hay on the ground.
Yeah, he did.
Last year. So this, you know what I mean? And they use somebody like J.D. McKissick is not. I just want people to realize it was Alvin Kamara and J.D. McKissick and no one else at the top of all running back wide receiver lists. It was 83 and 80 receptions. The next guy's down in the 60s. So you're talking about the second most prolific pass catcher is on the roster and secure on the team.
Yeah, but that was with Alex Smith, where everything was a dump off. And also, just so you are aware, before his
injury...
That doesn't hurt
Antonio Gibson?
What?
I mean, if you're saying that was Alex Smith, why would Antonio Gibson get more work under the same premise?
I'm saying that McKissick's prolific pass catching was due in part because he had a quarterback that wouldn't drive the ball down the field. They needed McKissick in the game to have those dump-offs. But before the Pittsburgh injury, Antonio Gibson rookie year was on pace for 68 targets and 55 receptions. Those are phenomenal pass-catching numbers. And that was with McKissick.
Yeah.
So I'm just saying.
Far cry from the big boys in the top 5 area that you're talking about.
Yeah. Well, far cry certainly from Christian McCaffrey. And I do not think he has that ability whatsoever.
Terry McLaurin, Curtis. I don't think top 5 is possible for Gibson. That's my point. You do. Terry McLaurin, Curtis Samuel. Ryan Fitzpatrick has not played with either of these players before. McLaurin
they're
is sitting.
They're already friends, though. We saw the chalkboard.
That they're friends? They're buddies?
Yep.
All 3 of them, though,
mm-hmm.
Right? McLaurin's at wide receiver 11. Curtis Samuel's at wide receiver 38 on our current rankings. That feels like too big of a gap to me.
I don't think the gap is too big. I think that Terry McLaurin is at the appropriate spot for ADP. I think that he could provide a value there as well. But I agree, if you're saying the gap is too big, that Curtis Samuel shouldn't be that low, then I definitely agree with that, that Ryan Fitzpatrick will... With the evidence that we've seen with him utilizing 2 wide receivers and force-feeding those guys targets, I think Curtis Samuel right now presents a great value for a wide receiver 3 type of a player.
Yeah, that was ADP, not our rankings. So yes. It was just how far the gap is right now. McLaurin in the third round, you're happy with him there?
Yes.
12.9 per catch last year. Samuel's in the 11 range. Both players should really give Fitzpatrick the opportunity to do what he does and have trust in the receiving game. Logan Thomas could be the one player that sees a diminished total quantity. I mean, 110 targets, that's a lot. 72 receptions, I don't think any of us have him projected to do that again. Mike, he was your early bust pick in June.
Yeah, I am. Logan Thomas is one of those players. It was a great story last year. He was incredibly necessary for this team. The team was, aside from the running backs, it was Terry McLaurin and Logan Thomas. Like he was there when they needed him, but the team went out and you have and they made some additions and you have some players coming back from injury. I am out. I am OUT on Logan Thomas. I'm willing to be wrong on him because it's not that I don't think he's a bad player or anything by that. He's, you know, growing into the tight end role as a professional, but I don't see the targets really being there like they were last year. And then on top of that, looking at the tendencies of Ryan Fitzpatrick, and we have not seen an actual prolific fantasy football tight end paired with Ryan Fitzpatrick.
All right, let's move on to the second place team in the division, the New York Giants, 6-10. Started 1-7. Okay, so you saw you saw an improving team over the back half of the year. When you start 1-7, that's as bad as it gets, but Judge and Company, I liked what I started to see. With no Saquon all year long, again, the offense struggled tremendously.
Yeah.
This division struggled tremendously. And, they add Kenny Golladay, Devontae Booker. They add Kyle Rudolph. They get Saquon back.
This is a Daniel Jones question. I mean,
yeah,
that's,
they were the only team to have a quarterback fail to surpass 300 passing yards in a game.
Yeah, I mean, Daniel Jones wasn't good.
He was bad.
This was the time last year where we were saying, well, we're going to find out what Daniel Jones is made of. He's coming into his second year, yada, yada. Now, a year later, we're saying, well, this is the time. We're going to find out what Daniel Jones is made of. They got Kenny Golladay. They did this stuff. Early on in the offseason, I really was hopeful for Daniel Jones, not expecting, but my optimism has really gone away, and I feel the need to go watch his film again, just to see if I see some. But I'm very pessimistic.
And your eyes
him.
Might bleed.
Being able to do what the Giants want him to be able to do, which obviously has an effect on Kenny Golladay's fantasy value and the whole touchdown output of the offense.
There's plenty to be concerned about because the foundation of a great offense is often that offensive line being able to protect a young quarterback. Like Daniel Jones has physical gifts and talents, no question.
Yes.
About it. But so did Jay Cutler. So did a lot of anybody that comes into the league with that draft capital has great physical talent. But this was the 31st ranked offensive line last year. They go into the upcoming season ranked 32, according to Pro Football Focus, projecting forward.
How many teams are there?
They're 32.
Okay.
And so you're asking Daniel Jones to overcome quite a bit, I think, with the offensive line situation. It's just a hard thing to bank on as a fantasy player. It doesn't mean that there's a 0% chance he has a breakout third-year campaign, but I would say that the odds are higher that they're looking for a new quarterback than it is that he breaks out in year three.
Wild numbers here for Daniel Jones, who I think he will be better this year, but I don't know if people realize how close statistically his 2 years were. His rookie year, he completed 284 passes at a 62% clip. Last year, he completed 280 passes at a 63% clip. Rookie year, threw for just over 3,000 yards. Last year, threw for just under 3,000 yards. Interceptions, 12, 10. Like, everything is exactly the same, except...
Did he fumble at the same rate?
I don't know.
That's how I know him for. That's what he's known for.
He fumbled way more his rookie year. 18 okay. fumbles to 11 last year.
Oof. Oh, he got it all the way down to 11
that's
fumbles?
That's so many.
Good job, Daniel.
But here's what... This is where it's like Daniel Jones is going to be better. Because all of those numbers are I mean, four, statistically speaking, those are almost identical. But 24 passing touchdowns as a rookie, 11 touchdowns last year, 2.5%. 2.5% of his attempts turned into a touchdown, which is 2 full points under the league average. Like, it was, that's a statistical anomaly. Even if Daniel Jones isn't the guy or the future for the team, that's an outlier stat to me.
Well, Saquon back in the passing game will help. Kenny Galladay being added as a big body target that is
that's
a touchdown.
It's a big upgrade.
You know, he's a double digit touchdown threat. That will help tremendously. And he still has other weapons. Evan Engram is valuable. Shepard, Slayton. He showed some long ball propensity last year. Yep. Like, if you look at the numbers, that's the one area where Daniel Jones has stood out success-wise, is he's been one of the better deep ball throwers in the league. So that there are some opportunities there. Starts against Denver and Washington.
And from weeks 9 on, he cut his turnovers down. He only had 3 turnovers from that point on.
That's a very short period, though, isn't it? Because he missed several of those games.
I believe so.
So you can't turn the ball over when you're not active. And that's one of the benefits of not having him active.
Yeah, I mean, he can run the football, which helps for fantasy purposes if you're streaming him on a certain week. And but he only had 2 weeks inside the QB1 range at all last year. So projecting anything for fantasy, I mean, I think we can leave it there on Daniel Jones. What do you think the win total is for the Giants?
7.
I would take the under. I'll go 6.5.
It's 7, of course.
Wow. Nice.
I can't wait to get to the Eagles, because I think me and the the lines are going to disagree on that.
What you need to be excited about is the fact that Arizona has legalized sports betting, and now you can go smash everyone. Of course, you're just picking the lines.
Right, yeah.
So
I don't want to call what happened.
You could go work for the – he's like the push – all pushes. That's like
taking the bets against the bookmaker.
Yeah, I'll take 7.5. Sir, you can't bet a half win.
We have talked a lot about Saquon Barkley. He's our RB. He's the RB5 off the board right now. He's lower than that for me. I think there is tremendous risk with Barkley. Injury, offensive line play, time period between elite play and now, and when you spend that big of a pick, right, that important of a pick for your fantasy team, and you have other options, whether it's Derrick Henry, Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott, like, it's hard for me to say, hey, I'm going to put all of my hopes and dreams on Saquon Barkley coming off the injury, because it was a bad injury.
Yeah, it was a bad injury. October 30th surgery that was, you know, very delayed from when he had it due to the severe nature of it. Again, we expect him to be active and ready to go week one. We expect him to get off to possibly a slow start. I still think he's a world-class running back, one of the best, most talented individuals out there. And by the end of the season, I think he'll get it going. I don't think he'll ever get back to the Eli Manning pass volume.
No.
With Daniel Jones, which will obviously take him down a peg, and this offense isn't one you love. So, you know, towards the end of the year, I expect him to be around running back 5, but I agree with you, Andy. It's hard to draft him right now when you know, especially if you're at the 3 spot, the 4 spot. He's very, very tempting there, and I would rather go with a Kamara or someone that doesn't have these injury question marks.
I'll take him after Zeke.
Okay. Kenny Galladay, he's at 504. Which Kenny Galladay are we getting?
Are we getting the smooth one?
I mean, I've got to make a decision on this soundboard right here, now.
I'm going to – so Mike's going smooth.
Well, wait, look at his ADP.
Okay.
Wide receiver 20.
Wide receiver 20.
Okay.
A player that just received, you know, bags and bags and bags of money. He's the unquestioned number one on this team.
Thank you. All right. Let's get smooth here, Kenny G.
Wide receiver 20 fine.
I have him.
Oh, we're going. Let's go. Being smooth.
I have him as my wide receiver 18, so I guess I'm fine with him there.
But yeah, I'm actually, you know.
Volume, man, it's the king of fantasy football, and he's going to see a lot of it.
Yeah. And he's a dominant wide receiver. Yes, he's a dominant talent. He has been exclusively outside his whole career. But I, you know, his receiving line right now on DraftKings Sportsbook is 1,000 yards.
Yeah, I would take the over.
So, and getting him in the 5th round, if he's a wide receiver 2, Kenny Galladay, wide receiver 2, with probably a guaranteed target share, he may not be prolific, but you'll probably be okay.
That's why I like Kenny Golladay, where the draft price is nice. It's in the right spot where
nice price.
Oh, so nice
for Mike.
That if Kenny Golladay has a down season, you know, I'm not talking about health, but he has a down season on the field, he'll be about the wide receiver 20, 22. But Kenny Golladay has actual upside to be a top 12 guy. Like he it wouldn't surprise, or let me guess this, Andy, would it surprise you if Kenny Golladay finishes the year with 12 touchdowns?
No, I mean, wish he'd said 10, but yeah, I mean, it wouldn't surprise me. The problem with Golladay historically, right, without projecting him as, okay, he got a bag of cash, now all of a sudden he's a different player, is that he's a 65 to 70 reception player. Even when he had a...
Has been.
That, right. I mean, all I can go with is has been. And when he's been healthy, which has not been very many full seasons, he's a 65 to 70 reception player. So that would be the case against Kenny Golladay, is you get 70 from Daniel Jones, how do you get to 12 touchdowns? And if you get 65 receptions and six, you're going to be probably, unhappy.
I don't know. Drafting him at 20, I think I'm in on that.
I mean, the draft price is a lot better than it used to be. Evan Engram, worst fantasy season ever with 100 targets last year.
That sounds about Evan Engram.
But, I mean, is there hope there? I mean, 100 targets?
I think there is hope in Dynasty that he changes teams and becomes something more important. I have a hard time trusting.
So in Dynasty, would you trade for him right now? Because I believe he's on the fifth year.
Yes.
So next year he should be on a different team.
So honest to goodness, I went in our league.
Oh, that was a mistake.
To try. Yeah. That's what happened. Mike knows the rest of the story. I went to look for Evan Engram because I'm not a believer of him long term, but I do think he's a talented young tight end physically, where when he hits the free agent market, someone might, you know, you've got history of tight ends switching teams and then becoming what they were drafted to be.
Yes.
He hasn't done it here. I don't believe he'll do it this season, not with more mouths to feed in the offense. He'll have streaming value, but I don't want to draft who projects to be at best the third target, but more than likely the fifth or sixth target on his team.
Cowboys were 6-10 last year, matching the Giants. Dak went down in week 5. In the next 4 games leading into the bye, they scored 10 points, 9 points, 3 points, and 19 points.
Woof.
Failed to cover the spread in 70% of their games, including the first 7. Despite having the number 1 pace of play, 17th in points per game, this was the lack of Dak. The lack of Dak destroyed the offense.
Yeah. For comparison, those first 4 games, they scored 20, 40, 31, and 38.
Yeah, and obviously that wasn't necessarily going to continue, but it was going to be great. It was with that pace of play. You talked about it on the NFC West show with Kyler and the Cardinals. It was going to be wonderful. Instead, we got the Dalton DiNucci experience, and that was less desirable. Now, the defensive side, that's where they spent their draft picks, a lot of them trying to improve that side of the ball because they were 31st against the run, 28th in points against. Both of those things really lend themselves to being a prolific offense, right? You're playing catch-up.
Right.
You're throwing the ball a ton. You're trying to get back into games or stay in these shootouts. So I don't know what those defensive improvements will do, but Kellen Moore's back, Mike McCarthy's back, and most importantly, Dak is back.
Yeah, I mean, I think with Dak under center, you're going to see a very good offense, certainly a top 10 offense in the counting stats that matter for fantasy football. And so I like drafting Dak in general. I like having Dak on my roster. I don't think I would draft him in the fifth round, which is where he's going. I was surprised. I thought you were going to have a lot of people off this season due to coming back from the ankle injury. But he makes everything else go. He is the reason that I'm back in on Ezekiel Elliott. He's the reason that I love the value of Amari Cooper if he's, you know, active and healthy. And then you combine him with CeeDee Lamb's own reasons to be madly in love, and you see why he's skyrocketing. I think you just want pieces of a great offense, so that kind of speaks to your
Michael Gallup questions earlier of, if this is going to be a really great offense, won't Michael Gallup have some games?
Probably. Yeah, I think he'll probably have a lot of them. I mean, it's hard to complain. Like, Dak coming back from injury with Zeke and those three wideouts, and then two talented wide receivers with Jarwin and Schultz that contributed. Well, Jarwin will, and Schultz did last year. Like, there aren't holes on this offense. You even have a great depth running back in Tony Pollard who can take a little bit of pressure off of Zeke or give you an explosive play. Like, if Dak is himself, like, it's impossible that this is not a top-half offense, and it's most likely going to be a top-five offense in football.
Yep, I do not disagree.
And they're by far my pick to win the division. As much as I'm rooting for Washington, Dallas is my pick. They have the highest Vegas total. Where do you think that's at?
I unfortunately just saw it, so I will abstain.
I mean, are they really at 9.5?
They're at 9.
Okay.
Yeah, they were at 9.5 earlier this offseason, believe it or not. But with that wide receiver room, just because it's a great one doesn't mean it's easy to project for fantasy purposes, because you might not know who to start, when to start them. Cooper and Lamb are going basically back-to-back in fantasy drafts. I mean, you have both of them as fourth-round picks, and then Gallup's way down in the 10th round. So how do you see this playing out in terms of upside and security?
I think security, if Amari Cooper is active by the time the drafts come around and he's back at camp, which is the expectation prior to the season, then I still have, yeah, I'm going to be hanging with Mr. Cooper, because I think the security is there, the upside is there. When he's been with Dak, he's been absolutely phenomenal. He's also, he moves around. They use him on the outside. They move him into the slot. They move him everywhere because he is their primary first read target. Even if he's not the most talented, if CeeDee Lamb this season has leapfrogged him in talent, I do worry a little bit about the utilization. Will they do that now that he's not a rookie? He absolutely could explore more. But
coming
last year,
around
to CeeDee?
To the CeeDee? I am too, a little bit, because...
And I'm not happy about it. It's just true.
Yeah. Well, especially with the Amari Cooper. Especially with the Amari Cooper injury, it makes it a lot easier. If there's a window and an opportunity given to CeeDee, I know he can capture.
And it's, yeah, and it's part of it is just like, if you're that good, you get the ball, right? Like,
yes,
if you're that
course.
Explosive, Dak's going to find you. And I wonder if we're going to see, I think most, a lot of people projecting it, but I wonder if that Jefferson explosive, Beckham explosive season comes this year from CeeDee Lamb with all that's afforded to him with Cooper and Gallup and Zeke and the play action. Like, I just wonder if you will see that, and I'm starting to come around to that way of thought.
Yeah, my only question is whether they will use him in more various ways. Last year, he was pretty much exclusively a slot wide receiver.
And Juju.
And he did great, but that will limit. I mean, some of the touchdowns he had was on special teams. It kind of inflates his end-of-season ranking from what he did. But I mean, you know, coming out, he was my favorite wide receiver last year. I was madly in love with CeeDee Lamb. And in this offense, first pace of play, yeah, I'm fine taking a shot on either one of them.
It's just so brutal with the ADP of CeeDee Lamb. It puts you in a tough spot as a fantasy football player of he, like, your margin for error is so small. Taking him in the fourth round.
I don't think it is, and here's why. I believe right now they're being drafted as the wide receiver 16, wide receiver 17. If Cooper, Lamb, and Dak all play the season, right, and nobody's injured, I cannot fathom a world where both guys are not top 24 wide receivers. So that's the floor. They're being drafted somewhat near their floor. And we know year after year after year, there are plenty of great offenses that have two top 12 wide receivers and or two top 24 wide receivers. This is the case where it's like you're drafting them near what would be the floor, assuming health, and you could have two top 12 guys here.
Mike, does Blake Jarwin have the ceiling you had hoped for him last year?
The ceiling, no, because of the emergence of CeeDee Lamb. I think that Blake Jarwin can still finish as a tight end one. And that's how I have it projected. Of for everything that you guys have laid out of how great this offense is, I think there will be enough from Dak Prescott to support three weapons. three pass-catching weapons.
Is there a chance Dalton Schultz gets more snaps than Blake Jarwin?
Of course, there is definitely the chance. But it would – and Dalton Schultz was – Dalton Schultz, his success last year with bad quarterback play is the reason that I'm that I still have hope for Blake Jarwin. Like, this is just how you want to look at the situation. You have one person who says, well, Dalton Schultz proved to the team that he can be the player, and so he's going to earn more snaps. And then my side, which is Blake Jarwin, to me, what I've seen of him, he is by far the more explosive and bigger playmaking option for the team over Dalton Schultz, and he is the one who still has the contract. I mean, does the team just abandon everything that they believe they had in Blake Jarwin because a guy tore his ACL in week one? I don't think they do.
You're not worried about Jeremy Sprinkle rising to the top of that?
Oh, Sprinkle.
To the top of that depth chart.
Is he seriously there?
Yeah, he is.
Oh, man, Jeremy Sprinkle.
Yeah, there have been all sorts of speculation out of Dallas camp with the tight end room, to be honest with you. Everything from Dalton Schultz is the secret weapon that they're going to utilize a ton this year to Dalton Schultz could be traded because he's proven that he's valuable, and they have Jarwin coming back, so they can get value on Dalton Schultz.
And what's nice here is Jarwin had the ACL, but we talked about players that went on to the PUP for training camp, not Jarwin. He is there. He is active and ready to go. We don't have to play this game of, is he going to be ready by the season starting? So I still have confidence in Blake Jarwin, but no, the ceiling I had hoped for, I don't think it's there.
All right, the Eagles at 4-11-1.
Oh, baby.
Well, Doug Peterson, gone. Carson Wentz, gone. They have nine total players left from their 2017 Super Bowl team.
Let's get to the main show here.
Yeah, we want that over-under, Jason.
What's the Vegas line? I'm putting them at 7.
Mike?
I'll take the under on that.
There you go. It's at 6.5.
Got one.
That's not a lot of wins in a newly forged 17-game season. There are issues on this roster. They lost Wentz, Jeffrey, D-Jax, their head coach. So you've got the first year of Nick Sirianni, the first year of Shane Steichen, the first full season for Jalen Hurts, the first season for Devonta Smith.
Yep.
And the first year that they may be without Zach Ertz in this offense, which, Mike, that's a check in the right column for you, I think.
Well, I wouldn't say it's the first year without him.
Oh.
Well done, Mike. Thank
you. Oh, yeah. Kyle mentioned that they have 9 players left on the 2017 team, but only 8 if you don't count Zach Ertz's corpse walking around. This was a rough season for this was the opposite of the Washington, where you mentioned that they have like players in every single position that were contributing. This was what goes wrong when you're 26th in points per game and you have nobody, right? Like, other than the handful of weeks with Jalen Hurts.
Miles Sanders.
Miles Sanders was still
a starter for fantasy.
He was a starter for fantasy, but he was a disappointment for fantasy players.
Yes.
Relative to draft capital and position. And you are the greatest example of that because you have an undying bitterness towards Miles Sanders for what he provided your fantasy team last year.
It really is true, Mike, that your love for Miles Sanders has created a hate for Miles Sanders, where I believe, and correct me if I'm wrong, but if you were in the 12th round and Miles Sanders sitting there on the board, I'm pretty confident you're like, nope, not on my team.
I would take him in the 12th.
To bench him week to week.
Just to cut him. Just to get rid of him.
Well, it'd be more like a service to the rest of the fantasy football league. Look, ladies and gentlemen.
Testimony to the Burns because...
Well, look, I'm protecting everybody else from making a mistake. If I take him and I put him on the bench, then I know that you can't play him. I'm protecting you from yourself.
Oh, it's selfless.
That is very big of you.
Thank you.
So there are a lot. I mean, I get why Vegas has this at 6.5, right? And, there were rumors going into the draft that Philadelphia might take a quarterback. Now, Jalen Hurts, obviously for fantasy purposes, was very good, but I think the jury's out in Philadelphia. And at the NFL level, as to whether he's the long-term answer, those questions will probably get answered. There have been rumors about Deshaun Watson to Philadelphia. An article came out the other day saying that there's kind of three teams that, like, Houston's basically committed to trading him, and Miami, Philadelphia, and Denver are the three teams that he can go to. So there's that question mark about their future. But we have to live in the present. And today, Jalen Hurts is the quarterback of the Philadelphia Football Eagles.
Football Eagles.
That's right.
Nice.
So we've talked a lot this offseason, but you might not have heard all of that discussion on Jalen Hurts. So let's summarize it. Last year, he had four starts. He finished 13th, 1st, 12th, and 18th at the quarterback position. So, well,
and in the last one, he was benched.
Right.
Do you remember the final?
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. He looked.
There was a lot of storyline in there as well. Players upset, and that there was promises made to the backup that he would get in on that game. So
he probably wasn't going to have a top finish starting 7 for 20 with no touchdowns in that game either. But you're right. So even if you look at the other one, he was a QB1 in that range three games in a row. We've talked a lot about him. He's been on bus shows. He's been on breakout shows, depending on who you're talking to. I don't really want to fight about Jalen Hurts today, but I want to highlight, I guess, bull case, bear case. If he plays the full season, can he finish as a top five quarterback?
Yeah,
because he has the ability to possibly rush for 1,000 yards. Yeah. I don't expect him to, and I think that top five, when we say does he have the ability, that's misleading, because I don't think that is a high probability versus being in the back half of the quarterback ones, because, he's, I think it's been said, he's, 75% of Kyler's rushing, 75% of Kyler's passing. That's great for fantasy, but it's the back half of the quarterback ones, and he does not have a great wide receiving core. I love Devontae Smith. I think he's going to be a good NFL wide receiver, but he is a rookie, and outside of him, it's a hodgepodge of nonsense, and it looks like right now Zach Ertz might be back, which just possibly hurts his receiving core.
It's funny because Jalen Reagor, I saw Kyle shared this stat where, like, his first reception in target.
Oh, it was a bomb.
Was a 55.
Yeah.
Yard. Whoa! 55-yard catch, which also equaled the most yards he had in a game. Like, the most yards he had in a game was 55 yards, which was the first catch of his career.
Yeah, it was a brutal start to a career for Reagor.
If you want some balanced perspective on Hurts in terms of our rankings, Mike is the highest at 7th, Jason down at 10. I'm at 13. I know that this was a discovery process for all of us when we did our projections on where we thought Hurts would end up. And I just don't think the three games we saw were enough to know everything that you're going to get. I mean, in terms of, like, taking those three games and projecting them over 17.
Of course. You can't just extrapolate all those things. But what you could take from those three games is that Jalen Hurts has incredible rushing ability.
No question.
A rushing quarterback is a cheat code for fantasy football. Yes. Since 1975, we've seen a quarterback eclipse 125-plus rushing attempts 9 times. And all of those 9, or all but once, those quarterbacks were top 12 quarterbacks.
Yeah, I think even with me having him at 13, if I think you told me today that Jalen Hurts is the quarterback for 17 straight weeks, I have to move him to my top 10. Like, there's no choice.
And like, he's got, like, what do you believe about Devontae Smith? How good do you think he is actually going to be as a professional? Because in college, I mean, he was
the best.
He was the best. He was dominant. So you add him to the team. The fact that, like, I know it didn't work out for Jalen Reagor, but Reagor was a first round pick who got hurt and was in a really bad situation. So
people have definitely buried him too much.
Yeah, and I believe they're going to move him into the slot. So he could should face easier competition when it comes to defensive backs, which could be a better situation for him. And all of a sudden, you have an offense.
Well, let's not forget Travis Fulgham, gentlemen.
Oh, well, the team
got to know when to hold him, know when to Fulgham.
Oh, man, that
did
3 week
bring
stretch
up Greg
was
Ward?
Great.
Well, he'll be involved. Okay. He actually will. Dallas Goedert right now is our tight end.
He's
the tight end 7 off the board. I've had the hardest time deciding whether I like Goddard or Higbee more this year.
You and me are in sync on these tight ends.
Are we? Yeah.
100%. I'm always between those guys.
I literally had, last week I moved some projections around because I saw Goddard just better than Higby, and then like 2 days later, Higby's just better than Goddard.
I mean, it really comes down to whether or not Zach Ertz is part of this team. Because
right now, it looks like he will be.
It does look that way. If he is, that really is a shame for Goddard's breakout potential. If Ertz is cut or traded, which he couldn't be traded, nobody's trading for him. But if he is cut to save money, then I think Goddard has a legit chance to break out. And unlike my, you know, I've got Hockenson ranked above Goddard, but I don't want to spend a fifth for Hockenson. It gets to seventh round, and you know, Dallas Goddard's there. I'm willing to spend that capital.
Circling back to Devonta Smith real quick, would you take him at his current ADP, which is
yes.
the late seventh round wide receiver 35?
Like, yeah, it's 7-12, so late seven, early eight.
It's risen, like his ADP has gone up a lot.
A lot.
And it's going to continue. You know, if he has a decent camp, you're not going to get him here.
No, you're not. But that's why at the current ADP, I would certainly take him.
Can you do, like, is this like a rate lock for a mortgage company?
Can
we just rate lock these players at their ADPs, like, in
lock it in
June 23rd?
I got locked on an 801 for Devonta Smith.
Yeah, I talked to Steve. He locked me in, 801. Give him to me. He's not yours. Yeah, that'll be fun to watch. Starts against Atlanta in Atlanta, then San Francisco in Dallas. So,
always remember, two against Dallas, two against the Giants.
Yeah.
That's nice.
Yeah, the two against Washington might be tougher, but I got you.
I omitted those.
Yeah. All right. This is a big question, though, because I think we will not answer the same team. Who wins the division? I've got Dallas.
Washington.
I have Dallas because of Fitzpatrick. He finds a way to not win the division.
All right. The toughest player to project in the entire division.
Mike?
I am?
I'm going to go Miles Sanders.
Oh, man. That's...
How much will they use him? How often?
Family Feud style. Good answer. Good answer.
It's Miles Sanders for me as well.
Because we might be undervaluing him. RB21 off the board right now.
Yeah, for me, it's probably Miles Sanders.
And also Ryan Fitzpatrick.
Like, sure.
Like his ADP of quarterback 25, like, he's going to finish above that.
Look, I think Jalen Hurts fits into that hard-to-project player because if Philadelphia's win total holds true, right, and you're the worst team in the division, this is what I had a problem with Gardner Minshew with last year. It wasn't that the player's good. It's that when you have a bunch of all the parts falling apart all around you, it's really hard to get through the season unscathed. And I think if Hurts does, he's great. If he doesn't, there's a lot of people that are counting on him to be the next Lamar Jackson, Josh Allen, late round steal. And that could be.
And he could be. I mean,
he could be. Yeah.
And the situation, like, he was
hard.
A rookie last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Correct.
So, I mean, this is a second round pick.
Rookie, three games played, basically.
It's a second round pick quarterback who's played three games. So I think you're going to see a good bit of Jalen Hurts.
Oh, you will. And I wonder what the defenses will do because. Seeing a guy for three games, Gardner went and set the league on fire for a little while. It will be interesting how people adjust and whether he runs as much. Maybe he doesn't have to with Devonta Smith. Sneaky player for 2021 out of this division.
Jalen Reagor certainly is a sneaky guy that is getting absolutely no love. But I'm going to throw, because I didn't get to chime in on him, Curtis Samuel. He's not sneaky. But
I think
he's a little sneakier at his ADP.
Jason's over here. I didn't get to chime in. Jason intentionally did not chime in on Curtis Samuel because
he's hit his quota mentally
let's
already.
Let's just leave it there.
Yeah. Because
Michael Gallup.
Okay. And I would say Blake Jarwin.
Okay.
I almost went Blake Jarwin.
All right. One final divisional show left. The NFC North. That'll be coming out on Tuesday. My goodness, we've almost made it through. So I'm sure Aaron Rodgers will
he's going to make a decision.
He'll make a decision for us.
I was going to say, you guys saw the
Devontae Adams
news of that the talks on the contract have gone sour.
Maybe they're a package deal?
Yeah, they usually are.
That's what Adams is like, okay, I've also got this line down here. You guarantee Aaron Rodgers is my quarterback.
Scary stuff. Milwaukee. At least you got your championship there.
Thank you for tuning in. Goodbye.
Thank
Thank you for listening to another episode of the Fantasy Footballers Podcast. Join our fantasy football community on jointhefoot.com and follow us on Twitter @TheFFBallers.